Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
When do you know Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune?
He's
sitting right over there. Hi,
right
Eric.
Here. I'm dressed right here. I just don't talk about me like I'm not here.
No, you're dressed like Don Johnson today with the t-shirt and the suit coat.
I've got my Tribune Union shirt on.
I like it.
I'm starting bargaining today with the company.
You look sporty.
Yeah,
and bargainy.
I'm not part of the bargaining team, but I'm wearing my shirt to support them throughout their efforts.
All right. Here's a couple of questions, and they all center around Jeffrey Epstein. Did he take his own life, or did somebody take his life?
My guess is that he took his own life.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the question that I saw someone on Twitter said, I'm the guard who was in charge of watching over Epstein. I was lured away from my post by a turkey leg attached to a string. I'm sorry.
Wow. Someone obviously joking.
Well, someone obviously joking, but the question is, well, why weren't these guards
doing their
closer
job,
closer watch on him? Evidently, they were working overtime, but they had also taken. Epstein had a roommate, and I guess that's how one of the ways they cut down your suicide risk is to put you in with a roommate,
unless the roommate kills you.
And
which
had, it could be, yeah. But I'm guessing that they.
So he was with a roommate at the time?
Roommate matching service like at colleges. No, I don't know. He was not. No, they took the roommate out, and they were. It's unclear how often they looked in on his cell. I seriously doubt any implication that someone came into his cell and killed him. I mean, you know, it's like.
You don't think that's possible?
How could somebody do that?
No, I don't think that's true. I don't think it's possible. I wonder, though, I mean, it's one of those questions that I'd like to have answers. Why weren't they more vigilant about what was going on in that cell?
High-profile case.
Who had made a suicide attempt.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have monitored that cell specifically a lot better, put cameras, security cameras? I don't know if you're allowed to put them inside the cell, but certainly right outside the cell to see who's coming and going at any time.
And also, aren't there, I don't know, how do you have the means to do that in your cell if you're...
Right.
If you're on well, he wasn't on suicide watch anymore, but, I mean, you can hang yourself with a bed sheet, so why is there a bed sheet in there? And how can somebody kill themselves in prison? Why aren't people protecting these people?
Well, how can you kill yourself with... I don't know how you kill yourself with a bed sheet if there's nothing to
Aren't there bars?
Fix it to. No, they're not bars in those. I don't believe in those cells. I don't think so. I think they're just windowless rooms or plexiglass windows.
Is there a post on the bed?
I would guess not. This is something that I haven't really researched this.
Right.
This was the question with Sandra Bland. Remember the woman in Texas? Like, how in the world did she have the means to do that? Why aren't these cells, these jail cells in Sandra Bland's case, these prison cells in Epstein's case, why aren't they completely secured against the possibility that you could... I can imagine a situation, you could have a bed sheet, but a bed sheet that is a tearaway-style bed sheet or something. It seems like a real massive screw-up, right?
So some of the speculation is, because of his, I'll say checkered past, but it's way, way worse than a checkered past... He knew enough about people close to him where he could have spilled some beans and gotten a lot of people into trouble. So that's why people think that somebody may have taken his life instead of him taking his own.
He's facing 45 years in prison. I don't think that was something he was looking forward to.
Well, he was, what, 66? He faced...
Right, I know, but still, he'd never see the daylight again.
He was never going to be free again. And so the idea that he would be a risk for suicide would be huge. So... It would seem to me that they would have really kept a watch on this guy. And yeah, Bill, you're right. The names that have been floated associated with Epstein include...
Our current president,
Our current president, some past presidents, Prince Andrew.
Right. And heads of business.
And the governor of former governor of New Mexico was
listed. And I believe comedian Chris Tucker's name has been thrown
into
this.
Really?
Which is a very bizarre... Yeah, when I saw the list and I saw his name on the list, I go... That's a peculiar name to have.
He just wanted people to talk about him again.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. None of this stuff would surprise me, given the kind of circles these guys were running
in.
So you're right. So there's all. It's just like not to be too crass about it, but it's like a game of Clue.
Right.
Everyone's got motive and opportunity, and who could have done this?
But Eric, what exactly is the connection between all these big names and Jeffrey Epstein? Is there some inference that he was, he dealt in sex trafficking of underage girls? Is somebody saying, that some of these friends of his, quote unquote friends of his, were.
Of course, that's the, you know,
speculation.
That's the speculation. The inference that you would have someone that he would have, in order to save his own skin, he would testify against any of the people we've named or others.
Yeah,
that if what we believe to be true about him is the case, he was certainly involved in a substantially large operation that was facilitating this.
Yeah.
So that there are people who know, and my guess is right now that there are other people who know. If let's say that, you know, politician X was a friend of his, and Epstein invited them, and they did these terrible things.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't done in a vacuum. There were people there. There not only were there the
other facilitators,
the victims,
that would
but
make
there
this
people
happen.
Who had to facilitate this. People who would go out and find these women and bring them in, who were witnesses to a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
So all those people are still out there, and the investigation is going to go on.
And some new information came out, was just released the day he killed himself.
Yeah. So,
allegedly.
So there's all kinds of possibilities. To my mind, there's all kinds of possibilities that this will be. That this is far from over in terms of who gets implicated and what happens. Not necessarily in Epstein's death, but who gets implicated in all the things that he had done before this. So I think this is going to keep going. And the other thing is that, you know, Epstein had very high powered attorneys, and all the money in the world to defend himself. Some of these people who are lower down will not have the same kinds of legal muscle.
Right.
So it's not necessarily the greatest news in the world.
Sure.
That for them. You know, and the other thing is that, of course, that Epstein was, when he goes, when he dies, no one can flip on him. No one can say, "Well, I'll offer you evidence on Epstein if you'll go easy on me." Suddenly, they're the big fish.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting and troubling situation. But again, I don't think anybody killed Epstein. No, I really don't think that. But I do wonder. If word maybe got around or word was sent down, like, you know, you're supposed to look on him every half hour. Don't bother with that. He'll be fine. You know,
this is a terrible thing to say about somebody, but I'm imagining there were a lot of people who were not too upset to hear of his death.
No, I think a lot of people were. A lot of
the victims don't get any kind of closure on this.
The victims are very upset. Yeah, they're not. They wanted him to
still some financial closure, but nothing beyond that, right? They can still sue his estate for money.
His estate, but I think they wanted to see him in the dock. They wanted
the truth to come out.
They wanted the truth to come out. They wanted him to admit and apologize, kind of the way, Larry Nassar. I don't know how much apologizing he actually ended up doing, but to see your victimizer brought to justice, rather than a lot of people would say he took the easy way out. You know people who might have wanted him dead by legal means did not want to see him take that way out. So it's very interesting. There's something about how we talk about this that's kind of an interesting
issue. Can we discuss that when we return?
Do we have to wait?
Yes, we have to take a small break.
Okay.
More of Eric Zorn.
You guys should get an Academy Award for your acting.
There's been talk
of
that, Wendy. There's been some talk. All right, we'll continue this in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. He can also be heard Mondays here on this show, like he is right now. But you also have an award-winning podcast, The Mincing Rascals. Yes.
John Williams is the host, Mincing Rascals. It usually launches, or whatever the proper term is for podcasts, Thursday afternoon in time for your drive home.
Oh, very nice.
So it's good. We very, have a nice conversation about the week's news.
So, Eric, we were talking about the Jeffrey Epstein situation.
And one of the things that I learned, I keep getting enlightened as I do reading, and I learned that it is no longer considered to be the right thing to say someone committed suicide.
Right.
That you say that they died by suicide or died of suicide.
Yes.
And it's something that I read up on this on some various, websites devoted to this topic.
Can you explain why?
Well, the one thing says there, because it harks back to an era when suicide was considered a sin or a crime. Think about the times we use the word commit, like commit adultery or commit murder. So it sounds like something that someone... It doesn't take into account the fact that this is that suicide is a when one dies of suicide, it is very much the product of a mental disorder, profound depression, and it's not something that someone can help or makes this affirmative decision. And people who make attempts and survive often talk about just the overpowering urge that comes along with that, and that's why every time we mention the topic, we talk to people about calling the suicide hotlines. There are people you can talk to, people who understand what you're going through, who aren't going to, you know, judge you, who aren't going right. to, or freak out the way a family member might, but someone who can actually help you work through that. But
wouldn't you put it in the bracket of things that because you've said it a certain way for decades, you almost have to be very careful of your wording because you forget that the phraseology has changed.
It is, and it's something that I had never thought of this before. It never occurred to me that you should think about how you refer to suicide right. that way. And it's not going to be a difficult adjustment to make. It's an adjustment that I'm sure I'll fail.
Yeah,
and there are a lot.
But
of
at least
that,
you'll try.
Well, I wrote a column just the other day about other things that I had discovered that had sort of changed their valence. And one of them is dreadlocks.
Oh yeah,
and I'd read this in Laura Washington's column in the Sun Times and elsewhere where they no longer reference is now locks, L-O-C-S, that people don't say dreadlocks. And we did some research and found an article in Ebony from 2016 talking about the fact that this is that because of the connotations of the word dread, that it is now considered more proper to refer to locks
what?
Instead of dreadlocks.
Dreadlocks. I love them. Give me Bob Marley.
There you
That's
go.
What it's...
You know,
locks. That could be me too, and they're not the same cool braided awesome way.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things that I had not thought of, and if that's the direction things are going,
yeah,
and the communication is still occurring, I don't mm-hmm. have any problem with that. The other word that I wrote about again that I had not given any thought to whatsoever is marijuana. And Mary Schmeek had done a column on this about a month ago, and I had noticed some other references, which is that marijuana was a term that was sort of pushed and popularized nearly 100 years ago by marijuana or cannabis prohibitionists. Then it was in order to give it a to associate it with Hispanics and have
marijuana.
A foreign sounding term.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah. And so
never even thought of it.
Cannabis was what people referred to, and then it was marijuana, and it made it sound like, oh, these dark people from south of the border are bringing it up.
Right.
So it has this arguably racist past, and given how many synonyms there are
yeah.
for weed and pot and ganja and all the all things that you could ways you can refer to cannabis, it just seemed like, okay, well, if some percentage of the population is going to consider that to be racist or have these racist connotations,
please.
See Mary, you almost need, do it, but Wendy's not going to.
You almost need a website or a service to provide you with what is allowable and what is no longer, because it changes on a daily basis.
See,
now.
Yeah, I don't mind. People get all huffy and they roll their eyes like Wendy over
well,
here.
Well, no, but marijuana, I never thought of any
no.
racial connotation at all,
no,
ever.
But there are a lot of words like that that like the word retarded.
Yeah.
You just don't use retarded anymore.
Right.
It's very weird to hear you even say that. Like, no, I almost hit the dump button.
You have
Seriously.
To say it to get the point of what you can,
right.
can or cannot say.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is a very taboo word.
But it's a word
now.
that I believe, like, when I was growing up, I remember this was, I think they were like commissions and public bodies that
yeah.
had that word in it. But we no longer refer to people that way.
Right.
We no longer refer to people as handicapped so much anymore. It's,
right.
It's differently abled and so on. And so there are all kinds
differently
of
abled.
I think so.
I like
yeah.
that.
Well, the one I had always heard was the replacement was physically challenged, but then people said, no, that's also incorrect. You can't say that either.
Yeah. Or a person with physical challenges.
Right.
The one of the things that I read in doing some research for this was the Netroots Nation, which is this gathering of the most woke liberals in the country. It was in Philadelphia, and they passed out a flyer, the Inclusion and Etiquette Guide, and it spoke to a lot of these things. And it said things like physically challenged, differently abled can be patronizing. Use person with a disability instead of disabled person. People with disabilities, as they say, should not be said to be suffering or struggling. They may be managing or celebrating their symptoms and diagnosis. Suffering is optional and subjective. One of the things they talked about that I had never heard of, tell me if you've heard of this, is the term BIPOC, B-I-P-O-C.
No.
You heard of that?
Mm-mm.
It stands for Black and Indigenous People of Color. And it recognizes that they have been historically born and currently are bearing the brunt of state-based violence and oppression. Another way of referring to such people is sun-kissed. So, you know, this is a way that avoids references to whiteness in some ways,
yeah.
In comparison to whiteness. And so you don't say, you know, color as opposed to white, and suggesting that white is standard. Now, some of the stuff, I admit, some of the stuff I am not on board with. Like, there's some people who say you can't refer to people as guy, to a group of people as guys.
Oh, yes, you can. I'm a girl,
I'm with Wendy on that. I don't think we are there. I think
but
that
you
guys,
could see where some women would be offended, but
right?
you don't know.
Right, I think that word "guys" has transformed over the years from something that referred to men,
guys,
boys.
It's a group of people.
It is a group of people,
hey guys.
And it has.
I'm offended by that one. You see,
no kidding.
Less than a year ago,
is that better?
That's better. Less than a year ago, I said Eskimo on the air, and Wendy said, "You can't say Eskimo." And I said, "Can't you?" And half the texters said, "No, that's outdated." And then the other half went, "Yes, you can absolutely still say Eskimo, but I still don't know."
Well, I think you say Inuit people, maybe, or I'm not sure.
But Inuit pies doesn't sound right. Would you eat an Inuit pie?
I would gladly. No, but the thing about this is, I understand people are over earnest about this stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
And they're censorious, and that you if you say someone committed suicide, for instance, and people will jump on you, say don't say that,
right?
Realizing that these kind of changes are slow and they're difficult, and one of the things I refer to in my column about this was using the pronoun they to refer to people who are sort of gender non-binary, who prefer you're not supposed to say they prefer, who use the pronoun they.
But that's plural. That's what's
it
confusing.
It was plural. Now it will no longer be plural.
So my wife had a coworker who did not identify as male or female, and this person asked to be referred to as they. So when you would speak about this person, you would say, "Well, I think they can handle that." And my wife and I tried to do this, and it was difficult.
Sure.
I mean, even at home, we tried to do it. We were talking about this person. We would try to use they. And it just doesn't come naturally.
Yeah.
We're just like, we're not there. But I think people of our kids' generation,
I think they're already used to it.
I think they're used to it in a way that we're not in it. And it's because, and for me, it's not, I'm not grudging about it, you know, morally, but I just grammatically,
right.
It's really difficult.
Yeah.
But if you grow up with that kind of stuff, it becomes common.
Sure.
And just like, you know, our kids would not use, you know, the R word to refer to someone with intellectual disabilities. You know, as we might have, it would just never occur to them, and I think that they will get used to those kind of changes. And these changes are gradual, and we should make the effort. I think we should, and I'm gonna, you know, like I said in my column, I can get by without the word marijuana. I can get by without the word dreadlocks. I don't need them. I can, as long as I can communicate what I'm talking
right.
about, I can, you know.
Boy, that has everything to do with Bob Marley. Marijuana,
yes,
and dreadlocks.
How about that? Thanks, Eric.
Me. Good to see you guys.
Read Eric Zorn in the Chicago Tribune. Coming up, the stories that matter with Don Kleppen from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.